Blog Talk Radio.
When everyone else around me can only see the worst in me, I wish I had a witness tonight that he saw the best in me. I guess I'm the one that gets testimony. When everyone else around me can only see the worst. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to me. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I am. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Happy
singing. Yes, he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his. Said it doesn't matter what I did.
It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I
am. He only sees me for who I am. I can't get no help up in here.
Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Marvin, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
Mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you would never amount to anything. When daddy is come home.
Good evening, everyone. Nice to have you back this week. I hope everyone is in good shape, healthy, happy, and joyous. Tonight, as I always say, we're going to have a really good show. My topic today is, how do you pick yourself up after your world has fallen apart? And I think that's a good topic tonight. I was pondering what I was going to have my show, my topic was going to be about, and nothing came to mind. And I was feeling down for the past week, you know, when things start touching your life and you don't know why, you just can't get it together, and you just keep pressing on, and then one day, something come to you and be like, oh yeah, that's it. That's why I'm not feeling like I quite should be feeling. I'm going through something. I'm thinking about something. So tonight I want to talk about, how do you pick yourself up after your whole world has fallen apart? But we have a really good show. Special guest coming on later. But as you know, I always like to talk a little bit about my topic and Lisa's experience before we move on to the show. 7 years ago, my mom had to go for open heart surgery. But she had to stay in the hospital for a while for them to build her blood up and get her system going up to par for them to make it through the surgery. So every day I would walk many corridors in Hackensack Hospital to go visit her every morning at 4 o'clock. Every morning I went to visit her, see how she was doing, and then I would go to work. And I did this for 2 months straight. Left Patterson, went to Hackensack, and went to see my mother every morning to make sure she was okay. And then one day I came home from visiting her, and me and my husband, we always went to a Bible study on Wednesday. I went to one church, he went to another one. And he left, and I said, who would be on the stove? Talk to you later. So about 5 minutes after he left, I got a phone call, and yep. They said that I need to go to the hospital, something that happened to my husband. So I headed to the hospital, and he had fell while he was in church, and he broke his neck. So they told me that he wasn't going to make it through the night, and I fell apart because I just seen this person 10 minutes ago, and here they telling me that he's not going to make it through the night. And then I got my mother in the hospital and don't know how things are going to turn out with her. So I went home that night, and I woke up the next day, and for another month, I went to Hackensack Hospital at 4 o'clock, went to see my husband by 6 o'clock, at St. Joe's, and I went and did my 8-hour shift, and I came home and fell out, and I did this for a whole month, and my husband didn't get better, and I watched him deteriorate in front of my eyes and leave. And one day as I was walking through the corridor, I was just saying to God, I know you're going to take one away, And I'm not going to be upset, and I'm not going to blame anybody. Whatever choice is made, I'm going to live with it. And then the next week, my husband decreased, and they told me I was going to have to take him off of life support. So my husband was taken away from me, but my mom was still here. And I said, maybe it's a reason that he decided that I needed my mother, or it was a time for my mother to leave. But either way, I accepted the decision and I moved forward. So this is what I'm talking about when I say, how do you get yourself back together after your whole life falls apart? My mother was doing pretty good, and I was thankful that she was coming through, because when the person is the glue of the family, everybody's desperately trying to hold on to that person. But see, no one knew what I was going through, because we were always rooting for my mother. But I had two people that I wanted to be saved. At the time, we were living with someone because my mother's house had caught fire, and we all had to go live separate places. So here it is. He died. I had nowhere to live. I only had a part-time job. I had a brand-new car. And my whole life had dwindled apart. What I thought was what I had lost within a month. So how do you pull yourself back together after your whole life has fallen apart? So I laid down one night and I thought about it, and I said, it's no time to cry. It's no time to feel sorry for yourself. You got to pick yourself up and you got to do what's best for you, because nobody's going to help you. So I buried my husband by myself. And this is when you need people. But I didn't have anybody. Everybody was into their own world. And I just went through the path of burying my husband and trying to make a life for myself. Now, I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not going to talk about anybody. I'm not going to say about what people did to me, because we all live through that, and we know what people do when people die. And I forgive everybody, because as the Bible says, forgive them for what they don't know. But I moved back to my mom's house, and I prepared it for her. And I prepared another life for myself, a life without a mate, a life of struggling, not having enough money. I'm ready to take care of my mother to bring her back to where she needed to be. And this is what we do when our life falls apart. You don't sit back and feel sorry for yourself. You don't sit back and want other people to pick you up and carry you to the next phase. It's within you. And when you put that effort in, then God will put the effort in to getting you where you need to be. So looking back 7 years ago, when my life fell apart and it was the darkest moment in my life, I see how he has brought me through a mighty long way. And I know most people don't like to talk about God, but we have to be real sometime in life. And the realest thing is that he's the only one that can bring you through your most deepest, darkest moment in your life. And if anyone want to think that otherwise, then they're not here there yet. because this is the person that's with us all of our lives, who knows us in our deepest moments. Even the secrets that we keep from other people, he knows. And as I said, 7 years ago, my life fell apart. Not knowing that 5 years later, I would lose my mom. And again, my life fell apart. It's harder when it's your mom. But you keep moving, because life don't wait for anyone. And if you sit back and you wait for life to come to you, it's not going to come. So you have to get out there and you got to make a way. And I tell my kids and I tell my brothers and I tell my nephews, this is what your parents put inside you, a survival, how to make it in this world. And you got to get your tools. And you know how to be like, put your suit of armor on, because you're going to have a lot of people battling you, a lot of people trying to take you down, a lot of people trying to pull you back from where you need to be. But you got to keep looking at that path and know that down the road, it's a better place. It's a better time. It's better people. So that's what I say. Yourself. You pick yourself up, because you know that falling apart is not going to help you. And we all fall apart for different reasons. Loss of our job, loss of a relationship, losing our children, you know what I mean? Losing an apartment, losing a car, losing the money that we had, losing your health. We all got a reason that we lose a little part of ourselves. But deep down, we got to pull ourselves up and we got to say, no, it's not going to end like this. God didn't bring you this far to let it end like this. It's better times. It's better things. Me and my brother was talking today, and he was like, if you died today, sis, would you be happy and say everything is okay? And I said, yeah, I would be happy. And he said, well, if you're happy in the situation you're in now, that you truly aren't happy, because it's better things coming for you. And that's why I said sometimes people say stuff and they give you a moment that you got to really think about, are you really happy? If it was the last moment of your breath on this earth, would you say, for the grace of God, I have lived good, I am happy? We got to think about that sometimes. Where are we at? Are we really content and happy where we are at? Or can we make it? Can we go farther? Can we stretch ourselves out? We're not here on this earth for nothing. We're on here this earth for a purpose, a reason. And we need to find it. And sometimes we have to struggle. And sometimes we struggle longer than we should. But it's okay. Because every struggle you go through, it's a lesson that you learn. I had COVID when it first came out. I didn't even think I was going to die. I just thought I was dying. It was so bad. But I look back now, and I humble myself, because now I know what it is to have good health. Because going through COVID, it's like you're dying slowly, and ain't nobody can help you. Only your body can repair itself and bring you back. No medicine, no liquid, no nothing. You got to rely on what you have inside you to bring you out of that moment that you feel that you're not going to be here any longer. So I'm going to end right there, because I want to go on with our show. Thank you for listening to my story, The Lisa Experience. We're going to take a little break, and I'm going to bring my next guest. So we're going to take out with a song.
We fall down, but we get up for a saint is just a sinner who fell down.
we couldn't stay there and got up. Amen.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up.
Yeah, yeah.
We fall down.
Oh, my,
we
get back up again.
All
the things
you
show
us,
but we can't stay there. We'll see the righteousness in time. Oh,
we fall down.
Let me get back up again.
We fall down.
We fall down sometimes. Let me get back up again.
We fall down.
Just to believe that.
We
rise back up again.
For the same
just
a sinner.
Oh,
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 oh.
Everybody say
now.
Welcome back. And this part about half of our show, I want to introduce this month. I'm going to have a co-host for the month of May, but I decided to have him on tonight to introduce him and start our show off and let you know that we're going to be doing some exciting things next month, some good topics we're going to bring forth. And I think you should always have someone as a sidekick to help you out sometime, you know, give somebody else a little 5 minutes of success or, you know, fame. So I'm introducing tonight, and everyone knows him, Miles. Miles, are you there?
Yes, I am, right here.
Yes, thank you for joining us tonight, Miles. You're a number one fan of all of our shows, and we want to thank you for supporting us and being there, and also putting your input and your wisdom and intelligence, and we thank you for that. I was interested in this topic because so many people go through things, and as you said one time in the show, that people walk past people and don't even realize that that person might be hurting or that person is going through something. You know, we just see people and be like, oh, okay, what's wrong with them, or why are they looking like that? Or we, like you said, sometimes you think people are invisible. You walk past them like you didn't even see them. I never forget when you said that, and it was profound on a lot of people to think that people walk by and pretend they don't see people, like they're invisible, but they're on the streets or in places that you are.
Make them feel like they're invisible.
Invisible. So I want to give you the floor for you to tell a little bit of your story of what happened to you in life. You don't have to get into details if you don't want, but you could just scratch the surface that you want. But this is your time to shine and tell people your story. So I introduce Miles. You have the floor, Miles.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I was just listening to what you were talking about earlier, because I went through the same thing with our mom, my sister. And I, as I was growing up, you know, when I lost my sight and I knew I had to drop out of school, I didn't have a clue what to do after that, because I wanted to be an engineer. And being that I had vision problems, I had to drop out of school, and that was like really kind of got to me. But I did odd jobs to get myself keep going, and ended up hanging out with the wrong crowd. Almost went to prison for life. But thank God that my vision went bad on me to stop me from hanging out with them. So when I stopped hanging out with them, they end up in prison. And I wasn't nowhere around. And I was like, thank God, because of my sight. I always believed that being that I lost my sight saved my life, kept me out of prison. Because I truly believe I was heading to prison for a very long time, because the guys I was hanging out with, we was doing some stupid stuff back then. But like you were saying earlier about, you know, your loss and getting back, 4 years ago, we lost our mother on Easter Sunday morning from cancer. So we knew that was coming, so everybody was trying to, you know, figure out what they're going to do after mom's gone. But we always forget that our mom had a mom too, you know, and how they felt when their mother left, because my mother lost her mother at 10. And, you know, she grew up, and, like, we always wonder who left her up, you know, who kept her strong. And, like, she took care, because we have, like, she had 14 kids, 7 boys, 7 girls, and we never wanted for nothing, because she always made sure we had her and our father. And when we lost her in 2019, everybody sitting around, you know, because, you know, from cancer, when you get to the bad part, you're bed rested. She wanted to come home. She didn't want to, you know, go out in the hospital. So we brought her home, took turns waiting on her. And then, like, when she passed away, we knew it was coming, but some of our sisters and brothers, they couldn't take it, especially the grandkids. They was in their 20s and stuff, but they still having a hard time getting their balance back, getting their head straight, because, like you said, she was the rock to them. And to us, you know, because I found her when I went in the room. I remember that Easter morning, me and my sister cleaned her up, and I hugged her, told her I love her, wished her happy Easter. Then an hour later, I went in to check on her, and she was gone. And it hit me kind of hard, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, should I just start crying, you know, sit back, and I'm like, I know, hold up, I'm the oldest now, so besides my other sister, that was my oldest sister, so Next thing I know, I had to keep my balance because my brothers and them, they found out. I called everybody. They came over, and we went through that. Now, on the day of her funeral, this was the crazy thing about it. Everybody's at the funeral. Our sister, her daughter named Kim, she was born on my mother's birthday, so they had the same birthday. So we all, we all put her to rest, and we going through that. And a month later, exactly 1 month later and 1 day after that, my sister Kim, my mother's daughter she had on her birthday, went to work, had a massive heart attack, and passed away a month later. And that caught us all off guard. And her kids is, having a hard time getting with that. So, I try to talk to them as much as I can and try to get them to realize, hey, you got family, too. You got to stay strong for them. Because if you don't, what they going to do? Just like I heard what you went through. See, now you're stronger because, your kid's doing good. You're doing good. It's a process to go through that kind of pain. And I always try to get my family to remember, why we don't want to talk about death. Nobody want to talk about death in the family. Or, what happens if somebody passed away. Nobody want to talk about that. Every time you bring it up, they walk away from you. And I keep trying to tell them that's a part of life. And then, a year after that, my older sister passed away the day after Mother's Day. And that span, so we still going through things. We still trying to get it together, but some of my sisters and my nieces, they not talking to one another because they blame each other for what happened with our mom. Nobody was there. Where was you at? You know how they always assume that, what day she was going to pass away, you could read the day she's going to go. No, it happened the day y'all happened to happen, wasn't around. And that was something they blame each other. If I would have knew this and that, stop playing the if game. And then, it's just that's how we're doing now. And, I go through it, too. Sometimes I sit here, and I be sitting on my porch, and I think about my mom and what my life was like before I lost my vision, how it is after my vision. It seemed like my life got better once I lost my sight. Because I do a lot of advocate for people with disability, vision loss. I'm on a couple of boards for different companies. Organization for the disability, and I try to give out much information I can all over Jersey. I go to a lot of meetings, and I just try to keep it straight. That's all.
Thank you, Miles, and I like the way you said that we like to blame ourselves, and. It's easy for that because I remember my dad had got cancer also, and they gave him 5 weeks to live. So the day that we knew he was going to die.
Right.
So me and my brother had set up that we were going to go out bowling as couples. So I said, let's just go. Daddy, not going to happen to Daddy. We'll make it back home. So we got in the car and we all left. And as soon as we got to the bowling alley and put our shoes on and everything, I got the phone call from his son and said, Grandpa, stop breathing. And I never forget, I fell out. It was like you said, you don't know what you're going to do when you do hear the call. And to this day, my brother always say to me, I don't know why I went bowling with you. I should have stayed with Daddy. And I said, and my other brother stayed with him, and I said, Randy, sometimes people, they know they're leaving this earth, but they don't want to leave in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's going to be because I sat with my father that whole day, and I didn't go into that night when we went bowling. So he was waiting. He didn't want us to be there when it happened because it would have happened while we were there. And I said, you got to stop hurting yourself. Because it happened when we was gone. You know what I mean? Because I even told my mom, go ahead. She was going to a party, too. Like you said, Nobody knows the time or the hour that somebody's going to leave here.
Exactly.
That's why you got to enjoy them while they're here. Like, people want to fall out and cry and go through stuff, but you got to appreciate people while they're here. I keep telling everybody, I tell my kids, appreciate me while I'm here. I say, because once I close my eyes, you don't get a chance. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I appreciate everybody that I come to, because even when you meet people and they be like, oh, why you can't have conversation with that person, don't even know them. Because you know what? You might be the last person that person talked to that day.
Exactly.
Before they leave this earth. And you miss that opportunity to be there for them. It's a lot of people here that's hurting on this earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got to stop
thinking
that it's only about us. It's other people. Like, whenever I go to church and people standing up and they praising God, and you can feel that they, you know, they just feeling the they feeling the word and the music, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, they really going today. But you don't know what that person when they walked in the door, what they went through the day before or that night or that morning. So you got to be happy that they're feeling it, because you got to tell people. You got to get it out, because when you hold stuff in, it only make it worse for you. It can make you sick. It just, you know, just take you down.
Cause stress you out.
My mother's death day was Monday. So I just
your brother was telling me.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling anything. And then I said, oh, yeah, that's right. The 24th is coming. And then I realized that I was feeling the way I was feeling, because brings back that phone call that you got. It brings back how you felt. It brings back how they're gone. Like, you know, and everybody be saying, well, I'm not going to do that every year. But it don't matter. Every year you're going to feel that, because that's the loss that you lost that day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when people say, oh, it's my birthday, or I'm going to celebrate the whole month. It's the same feeling. It's your birthday. You're not going to wait until the next month and say, oh, my birthday was last month, I forgot to feel it. No. You know it's a day coming in your life that you're going to have to experience something that you went through, a marriage, a birth. This is 5 years I've been on a job, or 6 years I've been on a job. And like you said, Miles, my husband, when he died, I grew up. And I'm not saying I was a kid, but I'm saying I grew up, because when you are in a relationship or you're with your mom, you are coddled and you don't really know the real world. But when those people die in your life, you really realize that it's nobody here but God.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And even the people that's in your life that's talking to you, you don't even know if they're real. Or, you know, why are they in your life?
True.
You got to watch your back, because you can walk right with people and think they all there for you, and then one day you'd be like, wow, they really not here for me.
Right.
It's for what you could do for them. You know what I mean?
You haven't noticed.
That's what I like about you, when you say that even though you had to be blind, it saved you from what you could have been.
Exactly.
Locked up the rest of your life. You know what I mean? You're blind, but at least you have your freedom. And like me, even though I lost two people in my life, well, after my mom, I lost my sister-in-law, who was my best friend since I knew I was, like, since I met her when I was 12, that hurt me, that COVID took so many people from our lives, is that it's just that, I don't know, like, when you get a certain age, it look like you lose people, but it ain't like when you lose people when you're young. But when you lose people when you're older, you can't get that back. You know what I mean? Because the people you get, it's not like when you're young. It's like different reasons that you let people into your life, because you're not as giving and opening to let people in, because you're leery more when you're older.
Yeah, when you're young, you don't understand like a relationship, like a bond with somebody. But as you get older, hanging out with a certain person, And as you get older, years go by, then that person end up, you know, dead, passed away. You're like, whoa, that's my girl. That's my homie. You know, even like when you walk the streets, you said, you know, hey, so-and-so, you speak to somebody and you find out too late that, you know, so-and-so passed away. You said, wait a minute, I just saw him the other day. And all I did was just wave at him, kept it moving. I didn't say anything. So I'm like, damn, I should have said something. But see, we always, like you said, we do say that to ourselves, but we have no idea when anyone's going to pass away. It's not, it ain't like a calendar that we got, okay, so-and-so going to pass this day or that day. But see, we do blame ourselves when we miss that. Because I know my mother, knowing my mother like I do, she would never want us to sit around and watch her, you know, lie in that bed and go out like that. She want us to keep on with our life, you know, because like when she was in the hospital, she would tell all of us, go out and have a good time. The sun is out. Take your kids to the park. Enjoy life. You know, try to keep us moving. Keep our heads up. And stop sitting around and, like, you know, sitting there looking at her, waiting for her to, you know, pass away. She's like, see, you're missing days. You done missed a week. You done missed 2 weeks already. You could have been out there doing this and that. And then they started doing that. And then when she passed away, they all of a sudden, they got, you know, they thought they missed out on something. I'm like, wait a minute. Did you hear what your mother told you? So why are you upset? She know y'all love her. She know y'all would have been here if you could, but she wanted you to enjoy your life. Keep it moving.
Yeah, because I remember I had, like I said, I had COVID, and my mom had dementia, so she couldn't remember phone numbers no more. So I was going for 2 weeks with COVID, and my mom, she called me every day for like a week, and she was like, oh, I'm just calling, I'm just checking on you. And I was like, wow, she didn't call me in a long time. But she would say the same thing, I'm just calling, I'm just checking on you, I'll talk to you later. And then one day she didn't call me, and I was like, wow, she didn't call. But she, in her, maybe somewhere inside her, she knew she wasn't going to be here. Because that next week when she didn't call, we had to put her in the hospital, and then that was the last time we seen her. So sometimes, I mean, I never forget those phone calls, because for the grace of God, she called me. So I know that even though her mind wasn't where it was supposed to be, somehow she reached out to see how I was doing. Like you said, your mom always be thinking about you when she don't think about herself. But I want to ask Jay Sean, do we have any callers, or should we keep going on? Do we have any callers?
One second, let me check. Oh, yeah, hold on one second.
They do surprise you, Lisa, when they do that, right?
Yeah, it do, right?
Yeah, like, whoa,
5885.
Hey, Jason, Lisa.
Hi, Latoya. Yeah. How you doing?
All is well.
Hello.
Now, how are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay, okay. Lisa, you're in my thoughts and prayers. You and Jason. I'm just hearing your voice. I know what you're talking about, Lisa. You're my father. And I had someone dear to my heart, and he was a second father to me, and both at the same time. So I know both clocks was running out, and I knew that I had to get to my father. You know, my father's clock was running out before his, and it did. And I was 2021. My father had a massive heart attack. And I knew my father died. So they, you know, they kept me together. You know, Joe and Jennifer kept me together, talked to me. And 2021, I went to their house for my birthday, the 19th of June. And I was talking to him. And he was telling me. I was sitting there listening to him. And he was telling me that I told him, God's going to see that you're going to get through this. what? August. God calls him home. Only I'm just saying, stay strong.
Yeah, it's hard. People don't realize that people do come and go, and we go to, you know, we go visit, at the funeral. But when it's somebody you know that's dear to you, and you're at their funeral, it's a whole nother thing, because you never thought that you would see a person. I never thought, and I know my parents were going to leave here, but you never believed that that day would come, that they would leave you on this earth. And I used to always go, you know, go to people and I would say, sorry for your loss. I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. But let me tell you, we say those words, but we don't know what they're going through. Not
exactly.
Until that person that died, as that person lost, then you know what a person feels and you walked in their shoes. So now I'm more appreciative and more humble when someone do lose their mother, their father, or someone close, because you know that feeling of your heart being broken.
Yes, the world stopped, Lisa. The day that my father, the world stopped. And my father wasn't a part of it. But Lisa, but I say that to say this. God worked miracles. But my father had no brain activity.
God, you know, said that yes. Happened.
God said yes. God said yes. My father didn't
say anything. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, because I don't really get into a lot of the stories, but my husband was, like I said, on the life support, and I had to make the decision to pull the plug. And let me tell you, watching a person leave this earth is one of the things that you never forget. How they looked, what they went through, how the body changes. And I remember just walking up the corridor to go visit him every morning and not dreading. I can't say dreading, but knowing that this person is not going to be here long, and you got to, like, get yourself together that you know that what you knew at one time was never going to be again. And people always say, oh, you're strong. Oh, you were strong. And I'd be like, no, you're not. It's for the grace of God that you're strong, because no one could take death and be strong. Only God could bring you through that, because that's something that nobody wants to live through or go through in life. And everybody that passes through losing someone, you never come back from that. So always a little piece somewhere that you think about that. But you do move on, but that piece is always still there, because it was real. Like I always say, living every day is not like when you're dying, because you have another day in life when you're living. But the day you die, it's over. It's over, and you only have memories. And thank God that he gives you memories, because if you didn't have memories of the person, it would really be really hard for you. But you can really think back on the good days, even some of the bad days that you experienced, but it was days.
You ever notice, Lisa, when as you go through life, you're watching TV, a certain commercial come on or a certain song that remind you that you get that tear in your eye. Yeah, and then you hear something in the kitchen, you think, hey, that sounded like my mom used to do something like that. And then I remember laughing with my mom when that happened and this happened. Like you said, them good thoughts and them bad thoughts will always run through your head. And, you know, every time we find a relative we get a call from a relative, oh, so-and-so in the hospital, the first thing we do, we worry about them. I hope they be all right, you know. I hope this, I hope that.
But that's a part of life. We feel that like, okay, my mom. It's different. If people don't understand, it's different when you like a friend of yours, like, oh, my sister's in the hospital. You say, oh, I wish you the best. But when somebody tell you, that one of your family members, you get a whole different feeling.
Yeah. And let me tell you, it's nothing like when you got a you know, we drive past hospitals all the time, but let me tell you, mm-hmm. when a hospital become like your home, because you go in there every day checking on your loved one, and you know all the nurses, you know the roommates they have, and every day you're hoping they get better, and you're hoping that you get good news, and then but then you turn and you're watching, they're going down, and they're going downhill. And deep down, you don't want to see it, because I never forget one day this doctor told me. He said, Ms. Webb, he said, that's a house, but nobody lived there. And I looked at the doctor and I was like, wow. I couldn't believe that he said that, letting me know that my husband's body was there, but he was gone. You know what I mean? Like, I had to like swallow that and know that. The doctor was being real. I mean, he could have should have coded it and said, oh, well, we'll see, make the best of it. But he just came out and said, that's the words he said. And let me tell you, I had to really think about it and say to myself, what you going to do now that you know this? What you going to do? Because once you get the final answer and call, then you have to decide, what are you going to do? Because it's decisions you got to make. You know what I mean? We used to watch people walking behind the casket like back in the day, you know, the procession. But let me tell you, you do that when they're alive. When they're sick and you know like they it's coming to an end, you're walking. You're walking because you know the end is coming. But like you said, we just don't know when.
You know, because I know when I used to go to the hospital, and when I leave, and before I get in the car, I was standing, turn around, and look back at the building, knowing that my mom is in there, and this could be the last time I seen her, or you know, is she gonna be strong enough to come home? You know, and that worries, you know, that be on your mind a lot. Then you get to the hospital, you see she ain't getting no better. You're like, hey, we want to take her home. Because, you know, when you're in the hospital, they only allow so many people to come in there. But, see, when she at home, you can have many people you want to come. And then when you go to the funeral, you see how many people show up. And they, like, the love that they show you, that they show for your mom or your dad, your sister, your brother. And then everybody tell you about, you know, the time they had with them, how they met them. You know, you get the memories, and it feels good. But then when everybody gone, and you home alone sitting in that house, that's when it hits you more. Yeah, so what I do, like you said, what I do now.
And then the phone calls stop. And then people stop calling you. See, people stop coming to see you. And then you got to deal with it on your own. And you're laying there. And I'm telling you, me, when I hear somebody pass away, I call people. Like, I'll call once a week.
Right.
I'll check up on you. How you doing? Everything okay? You need me? You know what I mean? I'm just calling, I'm just checking. And then as time go on, yes, I stop calling, but I keep praying. And I'd be like, you know, at the end of the night, I pray and I say, be with that family. Be with that person. Uplift that person. You know, they're going through stuff because you know what they're going through. But I don't try to be words and then go about my business and forget people. I really seriously care about the human beings. And if I'm going to, you know, like I said, if I'm going to walk this thing called life or this journey called life, then I want to live it. But I want to live it that one day, if I do leave this earth, somebody could be like, she was thoughtful. She thought about people. She loved. She was loving kind. But see, you only have your name. That's all you have when you walk through this world. And
exactly.
That's why I said, like, you got to, It's like, you know, when you stop on the street, you know, remember back in the day, everybody said, walk past each other, hey, brother, hey, sister, hey, what's going on, whatever, good
morning. Right.
Now you walk past people, and all you do is see their face. Nobody says words. Everybody just walking, holding their phone. Everybody not even paying attention. And a person could be, like, dying inside, and you just walk past the opportunity because you're so into everything else. But
now, Lisa, something you just said made a lot of – you just remind me of something, because I remember over by St. Joe's Hospital, they was fixing the sidewalk, and this girl was walking up. She was so into listening to her phone, she fell in the hole. She didn't even realize. She just walked into the hole and didn't even realize. I'm like, you were so far into that phone, you didn't even see your surroundings. And like you said, when we was growing up, on the streets, we walk past people, we see people on the porch, we'll stop and talk to them. How you doing, Ms. Johnson? All right, how your mom? And then we just sit there and talk for like minutes, sometimes a half an hour. But like you said, nowadays we just say, wave at people and keep it moving.
That's it.
Now, when you were talking earlier,
about
you had COVID, how that made you feel?
Hold on 1 minute. Let me send you the callers, then I'm going to start. Hello? Are you there?
I guess that's me.
Okay.
Hello?
Miles, I'm going to let this caller speak, and then
okay,
I'm going to come back
okay.
and tell you about it. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. Hello?
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm sick, but, and excuse the dog. I just wanted to say, I guess you've been on for what, about 5-6 weeks now, and you're making me proud. The teacher is becoming the student, every week you are amazing me with the way you are putting things together and bringing your topics out. You're getting better and better. And you are picking topics that people are afraid to touch, you know, like death. Death is one of those topics that we just don't like talking about it. You know, we all know that it's going to happen. We all know it's a part of life. But like Miles said, you kind of run away from it when people start talking about it because you really just, it's like an omen. You don't really want to hear. So I commend you for picking such topics. I mean, I was around for the story, so there's no need for me to get into the story of what went on because, like you said, I was one of those people that I was so wrapped up in my grandmother being in the hospital, I really completely forgot about the other part that you was doing. Thank goodness for my cousin Jay that he was there to fill in the pieces because I was just concerned with my grandmother. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say, that I'm happy. I'm glad that y'all were able to speak on it and keep talking about it because it is topics out here that people need to hear about, and even though they're not the only person going through it or went through it. Like, I know people that had deaths back-to-back. I have a sister and a friend who had deaths back-to-back, and, I mean, it changes your life tremendously. And you never recover, but you have to find, like you said, you got to find a way to pick yourself back up, pick the pieces back up, and move on with your life. So that was my little view for today. Keep doing what you're doing, and y'all go ahead. You know, 9 o'clock, I'm out.
Well, I'm gonna ask you a question on that. Like you said about your grandmother,
mm-hmm.
You was worrying about how much you did. That kind of like cuts you short from doing certain things you used to do, right?
What you mean when she was in the hospital?
Yeah, like you was worrying about her and then you don't
hardly
do as much as you used to?
Well, no, when she was in the hospital, I mean, I wasn't able to be there for my mother. Like, I felt
right.
like I could have been what she was going through, what she was going through, her husband. But that really wasn't my focus at the time, you know.
Right.
You don't think about some things until later. Like she said, most people were... You know, everybody was praying for something different. You know, my prayer was that my grandmother made it. And so that basically was the most important thing to me. And, you know,
sometimes you don't realize that other person is going through it, because not only does she have to worry about her mom, but her husband. You know, I'm very selfish. So just saying that, you understand what I mean, that I only was really, I was rooting for one person, and that was it.
I got you.
So
you can imagine what your mom was going through.
Right, exactly. I couldn't imagine until after we really sat down and talked about it, everything she really went through. So.
So when she was just talking about.
So you go ahead. I'll be listening.
Hold on. I want to ask you another question here.
Yes.
When your mom, when you found out she was going through COVID, was you seriously worried about that too?
Well, actually, my mother didn't tell you, but we had COVID at the same time. So neither one of us was able to help either. We weren't able to help each other. Yeah, I was worried about her. She was worried about me. We both had it really, really bad. I had it first. And then a couple of days later, my mother got it.
So y'all had to be stressing like real hard.
Yeah, it was a very bad time. And I think that's why I keep telling everybody, like, it changed my life. You know, it changed my life on the people I be with, I still turn up and act wild and get out of character, but like, it changed my life as far as how I deal with people. I really didn't care about, like I said, I'm selfish. I really didn't care about people. I knew it was concerned with myself. I do now. And I care a little bit more about people until they do something to make me not care. But it does changes you, because you see life on a different end when you've been through something like COVID, and make you feel like, because we had it when it just came out. And like she said, there was no medicine. Nobody knew what to do. Only thing they was doing was
taking
you to the hospital. So we had to fight it on our own. And like she said, it's the only thing you could rely on was your body to hold up and to get you through. And so so that's another topic that I really don't talk about.
So, Lisa, you had to been going through some serious stuff after you got COVID and everything you was dealing with.
Well, Miles, what happened to me was the day that COVID hit me, I used to have this bolt I put on my door. So when I went to bed that night, I put the bolt on my door so no one could get in my house to me.
Right.
So two weeks I had to take care of myself. I didn't eat for 2 weeks. I didn't drink nothing for 2 weeks. And when I did feel better, my brothers used to put food through the window because I couldn't even get out of bed. My daughter lost 70 pounds. I lost 50 pounds. And every night I just would pray to God to take care of her, because I knew she was bad. But she did have her husband and her daughter to help her. But I laid down there for 2 weeks in my bed, and no eating, no drinking, couldn't do it. I had to do everything in my bedroom. And if it wasn't for icy, Italian ice, I wouldn't have survived, because my brother bought me a pack every day, and I would eat only 3 Italian ices for 3 times, because your body can't take anything. I had a bad fever every night. My body felt like somebody set it on fire. Every night about 5 o'clock, like, somebody set my body on fire. I must have went through, I don't know how many rolls of tissue. That's how much phlegm you have. Like, it was terrible. It was a terrible thing. And then it took me 2 months just to get energy to be able to make it. God is good.
Yes, he is. To get y'all through that, because I can imagine y'all thinking what's going to happen to you. And you being in there by yourself, alone.
Alone and going through all the things that it takes you through. And I'm going to tell you, thank God for cell phones that, you know, you can have it right by you. I was being able to talk to somebody. Even though I would fall asleep on them, just hearing that they thought about me made me feel good.
Exactly.
So, but, I tell people,
I didn't really take care of my body because I'm a diabetic.
Right.
But like I said, if it wasn't for whatever I have inside me that made me live through it, I just thank God. But I'm going to end the show, and I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I want to thank Miles for being so great. I hope that we be greater than we were tonight. And some weeks I try to have fun stuff, you know, but I'm always trying to bring real things. That's why it's called the Lisa Experience. It's things that I experience in life, and if I can experience it and talk about it, anybody could, because your life is not a secret. I just want to leave that everybody. Your life is not a secret. Your life is a glass, a mirror. Everybody's living the same way. We're all human. You sit back and you think that nobody's going through or know what's going on in your life. We all know. That's why they say the word gossip. People gossip about everybody. So it's better for you to tell people what you want them to know than for somebody else to tell them the way they want you, them people to know. So let's take that with us for the rest of the week. Everybody have a blessed weekend. Everybody stay safe, healthy, stay warm. We don't know what type of weather this is, but thank you for joining me, and I look forward to have everyone next week. And as I say again, thank you, Miles. So thank you so very much for being a good host.
No, but I can't believe your daughter came out and said she was selfish. She admit that. Well, that was she said, yeah, I was. Yeah. Not too many people do that, but you raised the right.
The first day she was born, she was selfish, Miles. We're talking about it another time.
Okay. Listen, I was looking up for some more other topics to come up with too, so.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We're gonna have a meeting.
All right, then. You have a good night.
Good night.
All right.
Sometimes it feels cold and you feel all alone. But hold on, better days are coming. It can be rough. for your mother and your father and your sister and your brother. Thank you.